the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive. And make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
By his name we start, Allah's name. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. Inshallah, all of you are going well. We start a new chapter, a new episode of today's special on a special occasion. Today is the birthday anniversary of Imam Sajjad, 4th Shia Imam. So congratulations to every Muslim brothers and sisters, especially Shia ones.
Ya man ataita fazitta hubbana as'adtana wa jama'ta shamlana anta hadiyatun min Allah lana. بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور و والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا. عيد سعيد, let's enjoy this happy day. عيد مبارك, come on let's celebrate. عيد سعيد, let's enjoy this happy day. عيد مبارك, come on let's celebrate. Celebrate, let's celebrate. Allah Allah, thank you for this day.
On Thursday we are here, 5th of Shaban, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar History Calendar, corresponding to the 26th of Bahman, 1402 of the Islamic Solar History Calendar, and the 15th of February, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. Happy Eid, Eid Mubarak everyone, on the birthday anniversary of Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him.
Ya man atayta fazidta hubbana as'adtana wa jama'ta shamlana anta hadiyatun min Allah lana. بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا. عيد سعيد, let's enjoy this happy day. عيد مبارك, come on let's celebrate. عيد سعيد, let's enjoy this happy day. عيد مبارك,
Imam Sajjad's prominence characteristics. As his name suggests, Imam Sajjad was one of the most ardent worshippers of Allah after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny. He used to pray thousands of rak'ats of salat in the matter of a day, which made him prostrate very much. Thus he is called Sajjad, meaning the person who prostrates so much. These prayers and supplications recorded in As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiya were sincere and straightforward, which made them even more touching and impressive. Through these prayers, he revealed the perfect manner of calling out to Allah and finding our way to Him in every breath and whatever difficulty we are dealing with. Also, he used his prayers to covertly show his position against the tyrants of his time and make people aware of the situation. Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, following his father Imam Hussein, grandfather Imam Ali, and great-grandfather Prophet Muhammad, was fully observed of his manner toward people and treated them with his unbound compassion and generosity. Congratulations, everyone, on the birthday anniversary of Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him.
Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, he educated his society through a system of rights. Today we have a beautiful treatise called the Treatise of Rights, Risalat al-Huquq, by Imam Zain al-Abidin. Imam Zain al-Abidin did not have a government to enforce these rights, so he communicated them in the form of words of advice and supplications and prayers. In Risalat al-Huquq, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam lists 51 rights. And he teaches us that you, the human being, when you think of rights, don't be selfish and ask, okay, these rights, what's in it for me? Because usually when we talk about rights, what do people think about? What do citizens think about? What's in it for me? What are my rights? What are my rights? My rights towards the government, my rights towards society, towards healthcare, towards education, towards neighbors. We always think of it in a selfish way, really. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam teaches us, no. What are the rights you have to observe? If you are observing the rights of others, and others are observing their rights, then we're good. Then we have no problem in society. What are our rights? Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam beautifully teaches us the significance of rights. Now, in his treatise of rights, he mentions a number of rights, 51 rights, beautiful rights. Starting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your creator, your parents, your neighbors. You know, in Islamic law, we have to observe the rights of our neighbors up to 40 neighbors. Who does that? But this is the recommendation of Islam. These are rights that must be observed. Your partners, your children, your family, even the environment. The Imam talks about the environment. What are the rights of the environment? You have to see everything around you from the lens of rights. There are rights I have to observe.
The toast rejoice indeed. This is the day of Eid. The toast rejoice indeed. For this is the day of Eid.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Alayhi salatullah, alayhi salatullah.
You're following today's special, Notable Books by Imam Sajjad. The legacy of Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, has preserved through the centuries by the books compiled by the Islamic scholars from his supplications and prayers. The two most well-known of these books are As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya and Risalatul Huquq, Treatise of Rights. As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya is a collection of Imam Sajjad's supplications, which also reflects the social status at that time, especially in Medina. The supplications present his aversion to bad behaviors and speech of people at that time, taking refuge to Allah from what he saw and heard and clarifying the right path under the guidance of religion and the Quran and purification of souls from pollutions. This book has been translated into several languages. Risalatul Huquq is the title of a lengthy narration from Imam Sajjad compiled as a book. This narration, which contains over 50 duties of an individual toward others, is in fact a treatise on moral conduct in both personal and social life. The rights discussed in this treatise address various social relations of any individual, like the duties towards parents, spouse, children, neighbors, teachers, students, believers, the leaders of congregational prayer, the government, and so on. Because of their particular position and the comprehensive content, several translations and commentaries have been written on this treatise. Congratulations to every of our listeners on today's special for the great Eid. Today is the birthday anniversary of our fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard, each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word, they can never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Imam Ali ibn Hussein helps the lepers. Once our fourth Imam encountered some lepers sitting on the roadside and eating their food. Greeting them, he passed by when all of a sudden he stopped and said to himself, Allah does not like the haughty ones. Having said this, he retraced his steps and approaching the lepers said, Presently I am in a state of fasting and thus unable to sit down and share your food. However, I invite you to come to my house and be my guests. They accepted the offer and went to his house, where Imam Ali ibn al-Hussein, peace be upon him, fed them and helped them by giving them some money.
Now, one of the most important rights the Imam alayhi salam highlights is the rights that our bodies have over us. You know, we tend to think that my body is mine, I could do whatever I want with it. I own it. I could use it however I wish. The Imam teaches us, no, no, no. Every single organ and body part in your body has a right over you. Are you observing that right or no? Allah gave you this body. Are you authorized to harm this body? If I resort to substance abuse, God forbid, drug addiction, I am misusing this body and I'm violating the right which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on me. I don't have the right to harm my body, my dear brothers and sisters. When it comes to excessive smoking, that's harmful. Addictive, excessive smoking. Allah never gave us such a right to destroy our bodies. When it comes to even a healthy diet, if you look at the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, they give us recommendations on even what to eat, what not to eat. Because your body has a right. Don't think that you can feed your body whatever you want. Your body has rights over you. Are you observing those rights or no? And then these body parts have been given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam says the least that you can do in observing the rights of your body parts is not to use them in God's disobedience. Allah has given you this gift, the gift of eyesight. Don't use this gift to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given you your ears, the gift of hearing. You know what the right of the ear is over us? Not to use it to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To listen to backbiting or inappropriate haram music. Anything that angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has a right over me. My tongue has a right over me. Not to use it in a destructive way. And subhanAllah, even physically, you know, when you look at the anatomy of the tongue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed it in such a way to make you think twice about using it. If you look at the mouth and how it's situated, you have the lips that cover your tongue, and then you have your teeth, which some people say they even look like prison bars, right? Basically, your own biology is telling you, keep it locked. Unless when it's necessary, then use your tongue. Even the visual helps you in trying to control your tongue. One word can cause so much damage. So we find that Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, through his legacy, he teaches us that you should see everything around you from the lens of rights.
Congratulations, thousands of happy Eid to everyone, and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illa Allah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and our congratulations to all on the birth anniversary of the survivor of the tragedy of Karbala, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him. The fourth infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. here is something to ponder upon from Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him. Fear God and know that you will inevitably return to Him when everyone will see His good and bad deeds right before His very eyes. He will wish for the longest period of time to separate Himself from His bad deeds.
Pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Sheikh Rouhani on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, thumma salatu wassalamu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-Tahirin. Dear and respected brothers and sisters, due to the occasion of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam's birthday anniversary, I have to first of all offer my congratulations to you brothers and sisters on this occasion. And then due to this occasion, I want to recite a beautiful hadith from this Imam and inshallah try to translate it into English for you brothers. قال السجاد عليه الصلاة والسلام نحن أمان أهل الأرض كما أن النجوم أمان لأهل السماء. Imam Sajjad says that we أهل البيت preserve people of the earth, أمان أهل الأرض, preserve people of the earth as stars are security of the residents of heaven, كما أن النجوم أمان لأهل السماء. So in this riwayah, first of all, Imam Sajjad says that نحن أهل البيت, we أهل البيت, we preserve the people in the earth. We are protecting the people against the misfortunes, against, let's say, bad kind of, evil kind of things that may happen to them if they follow us, if they be the true followers of أهل البيت عليهم الصلاة والسلام, then they will be safeguarded by the Ahlul Bayt. In another beautiful hadith, Imam Sajjad says that خَيْرُ مَفَاتِيحِ الْأُمُورِ الصِّدْقُ وَخَيْرُ خَوَاتِيمِهَا الْوَفَاءُ. Imam Sajjad says that it is the best to start everything with trustfulness, with truthfulness, let's say with صدق, trustfulness, and end it with faithfulness, with loyalty, with wafa. So the best start is with sidq, with let's say truthfulness, and the best end is with al-wafa, with the kind of fulfilling your promise and being, let's say, faithful, loyal to what you promise to the people. That is why whenever we start something, according to Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam, it's better to start with sidq, with honesty, with truthfulness, with trustfulness, everything. So then it will be the best kind of start that one can start their umur or their affairs with. And then, for example, if you have a project and you start it with one of your colleagues or your co-workers or friends, so of course here Imam says that you have to be truthful, you have to be honest. With honesty, with sadaqah, with sidq, you have to start it. And then, of course, when you promise your colleague, your friends, to, for example, do something, to work together, of course, you have to fulfill your promise. You have to be loyal. You have to be, let's say, faithful to what you promise. So in this way, you will be successful and you will enjoy a blessed life by all the blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will be showered upon you by this sadaqah and al-wafa. So these are the two important moral kind of principles and rulings that must be observed in our life based on the sayings of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salatu wassalam. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Ruhani in the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters all over the world. As you're listening to IRB English Radio, I really welcome you all in our Quranic sessions today. Brother Ali Nasir, Brother Fawad Haider have joined us today in our class. So hope you stay safe and healthy, brothers and sisters. We are ready, inshallah, to get our class started. Yes or no, Brother Ali Nasir?
Yes.
Are you ready, inshallah?
Yes.
And Fawad Haider?
Yes, sir. All right. I'm ready.
Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 11 and Ayah 12. The story of Prophet Adam alayhi salam, the creation of Prophet Adam alayhi salam, and when Allah Almighty commanded all the residents of the heavens, okay, to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, all the angels and the Iblis also. Yes?
The heavens?
Yeah, the heavens, the skies, okay.
Oh, I thought there's only one heaven.
Okay. Or heaven. Heavens also is told for the skies, yeah, and also for, it's also called for a garden, that's also called the paradise also.
Okay. Yes.
Now, Ayah 11 and Ayah 12, okay?
Yeah.
On Surah Al-A'raf, page 151.
And 152.
152, good. Thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, turn to page 151 and 52, Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 11 and Ayah 12. Let's listen to the recitation once.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Walaqad khalaqnakum thumma sawwarnakum thumma qulna lil malaikati isjudu thumma qulna lil malaikati isjudu li Adama fasajadu illa Iblis lam yakum min as-sajidin. Qala ma mana'aka alla tasjuda idh amartuk. Qala ana khayrun minhu khalaqtani min narin wa khalaqtahu min tin.
Good recitation. Allah bless the reciter. Very beautiful, very beautiful recitation. Look, in these two verses, Allah Almighty wants to talk about and wants to inform us of what happened when Allah Almighty commanded all the angels, and Iblis was among the angels, okay? Iblis is a jinn, okay? Not an angel. So he was among the angels.
Yeah.
Okay? And Allah Almighty commanded every single of them, okay, to prostrate to Adam and... Let's see what happened. Okay?
Yes.
All right. So, Ali Nasir, could you read the first ayah once? Ayah 11. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ
Yes.
أعوذ بالله and Bismillah start.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
الله الله ما شاء الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ما شاء الله
ولقد خلقناكم ثم صورناكم ثم قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس لم يكن من الساجدين
Allah Almighty says, certainly we created you, then we formed you, then we said to the angels, prostrate before Adam. So they all prostrated, but not Iblis.
Except
he was not among those who prostrated. So let's see, what is shirk?
Shirk is like worshipping someone other than Allah.
Other than Allah. And also listening or following the teachings or the commandments of somebody?
Mushriks.
Other than Allah.
Yes.
Okay. So if Allah Himself commands you,
there's no shirk.
Yes.
Because you're supposed to listen to
Allah.
Because you're supposed to follow
Him.
Him. So if he asks you to do so,
that's not sure.
He wants to test you. He doesn't want to say that Adam alayhi salam deserves to be prostrated before.
Yes.
Okay? No. He wants to test the angels that will you prostrate to before my creation or no? Will you listen to me?
Or no.
Are you good worshippers or no? Alright?
Yes.
Yes. Okay? So, there are a lot of beautiful discussions here that you can find, okay?
Refer.
Yeah, you can refer to the Tafsir books. Okay. Ali Nasir.
Yes, sir.
Walaqad. I remember he did not bounce the sound of yes. Dal. The sound of Qaf. Read in one again. Once again, read.
Yeah. Walaqad.
Walaqad khalaq. Read them.
Yeah, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ
ما شاء الله وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ Okay. ثُمَّ فَوَاتْ What about that meme with shaddah? Is there any rule about it or no? Meme with shaddah.
Extend the sound.
Extend the sound. Good.
With nasal sound.
Nasal sound. صورناكم ثم قلنا للملائكتي. Is the mad wajib or no?
Yes.
Wajib.
Wajib to extend.
Yes. Good job. Sir, I have a question.
Yep.
You see that like small alif with the mad sign?
Hmm.
Yep, before Hamza.
Yes.
So can we say that's a sign for lazim mad or wajib mad?
Yeah, that is a mad letter then.
So like
it is the mad letter.
So does this indicate that it is wajib? This
yeah, of course, because it is the mad letter, and after the mad letter we have hamza. Both are in this the word malaika.
Yes,
that's why. Okay, sometimes look, sometimes it's calligraphy. Sometimes lam is written with alif.
Yeah,
the full alif. Okay.
Yes.
Sometimes lam is written and a base for alif, small dagger alif is written that way.
Yes, sir. Sometimes even tanween in some calligraphy, some sort of, when there's a rule for tanween or nun sakin, they are a little separate from each other.
Mm.
If you've seen them.
Yeah.
Those indicate that a nun sakin or tanween rule is coming.
Yes. So, malaikatis judu. When Ali Nasir stopped here, til malaikatis judu. And when he resumed his recitation, he said,
what did usjudu.
You say? Usjudu. Hamzatul wasl. You could have assigned it with any of the harakat. A-I-U. Why did you assign it with U?
No, we can't. Like, assign it every. We should first see the third letter of the word. Here. We have Jim. That is third letter. And it assigned with Dhamma.
So it is assigned with Dhamma. That's why you assign Hamzatul Wasl with Dhamma?
Yes.
What if it's assigned with Fatha? What if Jim had Fatha?
If Jim had Fatha, we would assign Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra.
What if it had Kasra?
Then again, we assign it with Kasra.
Ah, so the rule says two of the harakat, okay, two of them, Fatha and Kasra on the third letter, tells
assign,
you to assign
with Kasra.
Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra. And Dhamma on the third letter tells you?
To assign Hamzatul Wasl with Dhamma.
And this rule is applied in the words which are verbs.
Yeah.
In verbs. Arabic. Verbs. Okay?
So
the nouns have different rules.
There's no noun which starts with Hamzatul Wasl.
There are nouns. Okay? Like Ibn. Ibn. It has Hamzatul Wasl. Okay?
Ibn. So we do not assign anything with it.
They have their own rules. Okay? There are six nouns which are assigned with Kasra, okay? Which are assigned with Kasra, six nouns, okay? The rest of the nouns, okay, like usually they have what? Alif, Hamzatul Wasl, and Lam. You basically assign them with Fatha. Alladhina, As-Sama, Al-Ard, Al-Hamdu, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus. Assign them with Fatha. The words that start with لام التعريف همزة الوصل أن لام التعريف
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, next one here. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ يَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. So, Iblis did not prostrate, okay? قَالَ Allah Almighty says, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. Allah says what? For what? Allah said, okay, what prevented you from prostrating? Iblis, what prevented you from prostrating? إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ, when I commanded you.
Yes.
Okay. Then Iblis
reply.
Compares himself with Adam.
Qiyas.
Yeah, Qiyas. Okay, he commits Qiyas, which is not allowed. In our school of thought. Says, قَالَ Iblis says, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهِ, I'm better than him. God, don't you understand this? I'm better than him. Why should I prostrate to him?
Yes.
If Allah asks you to do so, it means Allah knows.
So was Iblis misled that Allah said this because he wanted, or he knew that Allah is saying this because not of him being a god?
Also, look, Iblis also thought like he's like fire. Okay, Iblis is made of fire. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, jinns are made of fire.
Yes.
Fire. So he said that, oh, I khalaqtani min nar. Okay, fire. It's lightning.
More powerful.
Look at earth. Look at the soil. Okay, you have created him from tin. From what?
Clay.
From clay.
Clay.
Clay doesn't have any light. So I'm better than him. I'm light. I'm fire. I'm better than him. Yeah. He was comparing himself. While these things are useless. Okay. So he committed a sin. That's why in the next session, inshallah, we'll talk about it. What happens to Iblis. All right. قال أنا. The word أنا has a circle on the top. An O on the top. What does that say?
Pronounce it fast or don't pronounce it.
No. It says. Yeah. It says قال أنا خي أنا. You ignore it. While you join, you ignore the alif. And if you stop at the word ana, you read it.
Yeah.
Qala ana. But if you join, you ignore the alif. Qala ana khayrun min khayrun min.
So why did they just put the alif?
It's tajweed rules, okay? Beautifying the recitation. So wa khalaqtani min nari.
Ya idgham.
Idgham. Wa khalaqtahu min ikhfa. Hide the sound of noon. All right. I will recite it once. The two verses. Listen and repeat after me. Brothers and sisters, time to practice the recitation. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ولقد خلقناكم ثم صورناكم ثم قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا
ولقد خلقناكم ثم صورناكم ثم قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا
اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس لم يكن من الساجدين
اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس لم يكن من الساجدين
قال ما منعك ألا تسجد إذ أمرتك
قال ما منعك ألا تسجد إذ أمرتك
قال أنا خير منه خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين
قال أنا خير منه خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Ahsantum. Thank you so much. Allah bless you. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, for being with us up to this time. Allah bless you, inshallah. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thank you so much, Ali Nasser, Fawad, for joining us today. We'll see you in the next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi tahireen.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools
وموعظة ونور، فيه شفاء للصدور، وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى، وصفاته نبع الهدى، نلقى الجنان بحبه، لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان، إليه تنصت الأكوان، وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Sheikh Baghir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr.
He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan.
Mawlavi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in The Teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the religious and scholar life of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, two Islamic researchers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Sheikh Fadai. Sheikh Rouhani, salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Fadai, salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to continue our discussion regarding the life account of Sadruddin Shirazi, known as Mullah Sadra or Sadr Muta'allihin, especially his hikmah and philosophy, mainly known as Transcendental Philosophy or Wisdom or Hikmat al-Muta'aliya, and his book Al-Asfar. Sheikh Rouhani, let's start with you. Just in a simple language, or it's better to say simplified version, give us an introduction to Hikmat al-Muta'aliya. What is it exactly?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The term al-Hikmah means wisdom, and the al-Muta'aliya means the transcendent.
Yes.
Now, if you want to know that what does this al-Hikmah al-Muta'aliya mean, or what are some of the main concepts of this al-Hikmah or philosophy or school of philosophy, it's better to very briefly mention the background of this philosophy and the history of Islamic philosophy. Of course, we can look at this issue from different perspectives. I want to have a brief look at this issue from the epistemological perspective, because it is really important to better understand what Hikmat al-Muta'aliya is. We know that in the history of Islamic philosophy and the history of Islamic theology, in the history of Islamic, let's say, traditions, ahadith, and also theosophy and Irfan mysticism, we have had in the past, we have had, for example, a school of Irfan, a school of Kalam, a school of Falsafa. They were separated from each other. Sometimes they were opposed to each other. For example, when a philosopher said something, then theologians opposed them.
Yes.
Then Urafa mystics from the other side opposed them. Then Ahlul Hadith from the other side, yes, and Fuqaha opposed them. There were kind of opposition between different kind of groups of scholars or schools of, let's say, falsafa, kalam, let's say, irfan, and hadith, and these sort of things.
That's why philosophy was banned from being taught in some of the...
When it comes to Mullah Sadra, one of the things that Mullah Sadra did, which was really a great job, was this, that Mullah Sadra told actually all of them that, okay, man, for mankind, there are different ways available to understand, to perceive the truth.
Yes.
One is aql, one is, for example, shuhud, illumination, for example. Yes. The other one is hadith. and the other one is, let's say, the traditional kind of sources. So why should we always fight against each other, saying that, okay, if you reach the truth by your aql, then others cannot reach the truth by their shuhud, by their kind of inspiration? Why can we say, for example, that hadith or traditions or ayat or wahi cannot help us? So there are different ways, different means for the people. They can reach the final truth. Yes. Some of them through wahi, revelation, let's say inspiration, illumination, irfani, mystical experiences, rational kind of perspectives, falsafi or philosophical perspectives. All of them are available. Mm-hmm. So that's why let's transcend from these sort of discussions. Let's go up.
Yes.
And make use of all these, let's say, sources. And of course, the base for justification, for clarification of them should be philosophical, based on rational philosophical principles. We can explain, we can justify, we can express, for example, wahyani teachings, yes, divinely or revolutionary kind of teachings, irfani, mystical teachings, traditional teachings, theological teachings. All of them can be explained, can be clarified, based on very concrete and solid philosophical principles.
Yes.
That's why if you refer to the works of Mullah Sadra, Mullah Sadra is a philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
And as far, for example, when he wants to prove something or deny something, first he has a very deep and comprehensive philosophical and rational discussion. Then he refers also to a kind of ishraqat, or let's say inspirations, yes, illuminations. He refers to ayat, to riwayat. He refers to ahadith. So he wants to actually reconcile the, yes, problems of these different ways,
yes,
to say that, of course, we can have a kind of better understanding, comprehensive understanding by all these means that could be adopted.
Mm. Very good, very good. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice introduction and elaboration. But if we want to get into some of the most important pillars, is what it's say, or propositions of Muta'aliya philosophy or hikmah, what are they? I mean, what were these new innovations and developments that Mullah Sadra made, Shaykh Fadai?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, in order to understand what is the innovation of this philosophy, before getting to the theories,
yes,
we should talk about the main innovation.
Yes.
For that, we should consider the two previous school of philosophy.
Uh-huh.
The first school of philosophy was called Mashah or Peripatetic.
Yes.
Which was founded by Aristotle.
Yes.
So at that school of thought of philosophy, the only reason was aql.
Mm-hmm.
Reason, that's it. Nothing,
yes,
else.
Yes.
You know, philosophy of Mashah was founded before Islam.
Yes.
And even before other religion. So only aql, nothing else. After that, when it came to Islamic era, so Islamic scholars believe that only aql and reason cannot be a good source for understanding all the truth.
Yes.
So the second school of thought was founded by Suhrawardi, mm-hmm, which was called Ishraq or intuition, illumination.
That's right.
The philosophy of Ishraq or intuition, illumination, was focused on intuition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just irfan.
Yes.
Suhrawardi believed that the only way to understand the truth of the world is irfan. We cannot understand anything by our aql.
Mm-hmm.
The only way is God.
Or at least aql is incomplete.
Yes.
Of understanding the real truth.
It's not qualified to, uh-huh, understand the higher level of truth of the world.
Okay.
So the main reason is God.
Mm-hmm.
And God can illuminate your aql in order to understand.
Uh-huh.
That is the only way. You cannot understand anything by trying.
Mm-hmm.
If you can be connected to God, by this connection, you can understand. Unless you cannot understand anything, maybe just some ordinary things in this world,
uh-huh,
but not higher level of truth.
Okay.
So this was philosophy of Ishraq. And after a while, this philosophy, we can say, was deviated.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of, I don't know, Sufi school of thought.
Yes.
They mostly they neglected religion. And they made new groups in Islam,
mm-hmm,
which didn't pay attention to Sharia,
yes,
and Islamic law.
Yes.
After that,
well, so Mulawardi himself was totally under Sharia.
Yeah, under Sharia. Okay. Huh? And we want to say even his philosophy was not complete.
Uh-huh.
The innovation of Mullah Sadra was that he said that Aql is not enough and Irfan is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
We need a combination of Aql and Irfan,
mm-hmm.
and of course another source, which is Naql.
Mm-hmm.
Naql consisting Quran and Hadith.
Yes.
So this combination, Aql, Irfan, and Naql,
uh-huh.
this was the innovation of Mullah Sadra, because by these three sources, we can understand the truth of the world. As we can see in Mullah Sadra's work, he referred a lot to Quran, ayat, and to riwayat.
Yes.
And of course, he used his ishraqat.
Yes.
You know, at about 15 years,
yes.
He was in Sitya, in the village of Kahak in
yes.
Qom,
yes.
Without any class, without any writing, just worshipping God, mm-hmm. in order to get to the position of ishraq.
So for a philosopher like Mullah Sadra, his personal spiritual wayfaring is also very much important, isn't it? I mean, it is not like the philosophy in the Western sense of the word, just for example, a professor going to university
yes.
and teaches something. So something that is produced and compiled must be felt yes. by his soul too.
My soul,
so
yeah.
for Mullah Sadra himself was a spiritual wayfarer.
This
is the main difference.
Exactly,
okay.
exactly.
Okay.
You
okay.
know, we can say that Mullah Sadra combined hikmat and shari'at. Hikmat is wisdom,
uh-huh.
and shari'at is Islamic law.
Okay.
So we cannot divide these
yes.
two.
Okay.
And because of that, we cannot understand the philosophy of Mullah Sadra when we are not in the atmosphere of Irfan.
Okay.
I want to tell you a quotation from Ayatollah Mutahhari.
Yes.
He quoted from his professor, Allama Tabatabai.
Yes.
Allama Tabatabai said, "Before I visit Ayatollah Ghazi,
uh-huh.
I thought that I understand a lot. I'm a good scholar in Hosa. I can analyze everything. But after I get acquainted to Ayatollah Ghazi..."
Who was the teacher of Allama Tabatabai.
Oh yes, was the teacher of Allama Tabatabai. When he started to study in his class, he says, Allama Tabatabai said,
yes.
"At that time, I realized that I do not understand Hikmat al-Muta'aliyah, anything.
Huh.
I thought that I understand. But now, I see that mm-hmm. philosophy of Mullah Sadra is something else.
Yes.
Someone like Ghazi, which is in the high level of Irfan,
uh-huh.
can understand that philosophy."
Mm-hmm.
So this is some introduction to his philosophy. His philosophy is a good tool to understand religion, but not everyone can understand him. Because of that, we can see a lot of misunderstanding in Hosa.
Yes.
Not just in the traditional and, I don't know, in some some decades or centuries ago.
Yes.
Even nowadays, these mm-hmm. misunderstandings are on.
That's right. That's why maybe some of his theories, for example, we can say substantial motion or harakat al-johariya or bodily or physical resurrection, you know, ma'ad al-jasmani, are not simple terms or propositions to be understood easily by even the people. I mean, the public for sure cannot understand it. Or, for example, Badan al-Masali in the Barzakh or Purgatory, you know. These are really difficult concepts. And Shaykh Rouhani, so his philosophy, are they true? I mean, this is the main question, that after Mullah Sadra,